Welcome to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio 89.1, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen. Together with Paul Wearson, my fellow county reporter, who will be our guide to last weekend's Scandinavian Days in Story City. So, you really had quite a part in those events.
Well, I was scheduled to be, mostly it was going to be a fun day. I was scheduled to be a judge for the Bill Riley Show. But I didn't check my emails the day before, and the organizer of the Bill Riley Show up there, Jill Brown, had emailed me that Bill Riley couldn't make it, and I had to be the MC. Well, I had just walked through a drenching rainstorm. Luckily, the rain held off during the parade. So I stood on stage like a wet rabbit, being the MC for the Bill Riley Show. But I'll tell you, it was a great Bill Riley Show, and we had great talent. And the winner was an excellent violinist. And we had a contestant as young as 4. And I told the audience to imagine that I was wearing a tuxedo.
What would Bill Riley have been wearing?
Something better than I had. I looked terrible. It was a drenching rain. What a surprise.
What will happen with this violinist? Will she go to the state fair?
They'll go to the state fair, yes, indeed. And, you know, for 2 years in a row, I call it the Lucky Bill Riley Show because we had our winner win the eventual championship 2 years in a row. One of those winners was an oboe player, and her family was there yesterday. And they told me that she plays now with the Boston Pops Orchestra. How about that?
Wow. As I said above, Local Talk is the show where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. The main part of the program today will deal with events, starting with our coverage of Scandinavian Days, which is the beginning of the summer festival season in our listening area. But first, I'd like to take just a couple of minutes for the people and stories to remember Mildred Brendelin, who became special to me and to those who heard her stories when they were broadcast in January 2013 on a Local Talk program, The Towns of South Story County. Mildred died last week and was buried in the cemetery in Kelly, just a few miles from the farm where she was born. I'd like to play just a minute of the beginning of her story as she told it to me. To hear more, go to our Local Talk 2013 archives and scroll down to 1/28/2013.
Born on a farm near Kelly, is that right?
Yes. And our house burned when I was about 9 months old.
And then what happened?
Well, then my mother carried me over to one neighbor, and we stayed there for one night. And there was an old bachelor that lived to the east of us, and he came over and he said, Mrs. Dearness, he says, I'm a bachelor, and I'm not a very good housekeeper, but you're so welcome to come and live with me, and you can do whatever you want to my house. So we went and lived with him for about a year until the fellow on the land built a house.
And you'll be ready for the phone call? This is KHOY Community Radio, and you have just heard the voice of Mildred Brendelin from our archives introducing her memories of her life in Kelly over the past 100 years.
Well, Susan, I want to go back to Scandinavian Days, which happened yesterday and the day before. It was a great weekend, and it began with the 5K run early on Saturday morning and went through the whole day with the parade, the Bill Riley Show, all kinds of entertainment in the park. We had a petting zoo, which I was partial to, and all kinds of great food and Norwegian arts and crafts and Norwegian food. It was wonderful. And you know, a team of KHOI reporters, including Rick Morrison, the wonderful James Winters, and Cynthia McClure, and, you know, they went up there and interviewed people and soaked up the culture of Story City, as it were. And at the end of the hour, we'll also preview the other festivals coming up in Story County with some surprises, including our first shout-out. But now, we'll get a historical grounding of Scandinavian days from Kate Files, the director of the Story City Historical Museums. Kate Files.
Hi, Kate.
Yes.
So good to talk to you this morning. I guess you had a pretty exhausting weekend, didn't you?
It was pretty busy, yes.
Well, now we're going to get you in your speaking mode. I saw your wonderful article in the Story City Herald about the history of Scandinavian days, and so I wondered if you could start us with a little bit of how those Norwegians got there and some of what you told the readers of the Story City Herald.
Sure, sure. We had, at the Historical Society here, we had received some questions lately on kind of like the history of Scandinavian days, the celebration and when it had started. And I'm being new to town myself, I wasn't familiar with it either, so I was kind of interested as well. And just by chance, I randomly found an article that was in the Herald in 1980 in a little heritage edition that they did. And it was, they had interviewed two former committee members for the Scandinavian Days Committee, and that was Bob Lekwa and Bob Sweet, and they kind of gave a little, you know, brief history about it. So it was nice for me to learn more about it, and then I kind of recapped that article for our most recent edition of the Herald here. The current celebration, the way it kind of stands now, began in 1965, and originally it was held on 17. Mai, which is May 17th, or known as Norwegian Constitution Day. So it was mainly a Norwegian thing at that time, and held on May 17th every year for about 5 years. The problem with that, though, as we know in Iowa, our weather is kind of finicky, and one of the years they were marching in the parade and it was snowing on them. So eventually, about the fifth year, they moved it back to the first weekend in June in hopes of better weather. And they kind of changed the name that at that time too to be Scandinavian Days, so it was more encompassing of, you know, everybody in the area, not just Norwegian. So yeah, it kind of continued on like that, and then different years happened. So at first, the parade, everybody marched in it. There weren't any floats or vehicles or anything, which is very similar, I believe, to the way that they had Suten de Mai parades kind of in the early days here too. We have a very nice photo that we included in the article from the early 1890s of a parade. And again, at that time, it was really everybody marched too. So I'm not sure how often they had these celebrations, if they did it every year back in the early days, or and I don't think it was as big of a deal as we make out of it now either. So it was kind of interesting just to, you know, learn about when everything was added, when you could, you know, have floats in the parade and stuff like that. So, yeah, I hope people enjoyed reading it.
Well, you also mentioned that in the Suten de Mai parades that they marched in Norwegian costumes.
Right, right. We have some examples in our museum here of the traditional bunads that are very ornate and stuff, and, you know, really nice patterns with the hardanger embroidery on the aprons and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're very pretty.
Does anybody march in those anymore, or are they part of the festivities or just in the museum?
There are some who still wear them in the parades, and we do they do a folk dancing usually during the festival as well, and then they'll wear the costumes during that.
Yeah. Well, are there any other ways that you maintain the Scandinavian traditions? I guess, actually, we'll be visiting a couple of them, the Kumla eating contest. Is that? That's not, the contest probably isn't traditionally Norwegian, but the Kumla is, right?
Right. The Kumla definitely is. Contest I'm not sure about, but that's usually pretty well attended, I believe. I heard several people that I met this weekend who had their first taste of Kumla, and I wasn't familiar with it myself until we came here. So, yeah. In Heritage Hall here in town, which is kind of run by the Sons of Norway organization that we have here, they always do a nice kind of a craft and food vendor thing at Heritage Hall. So they've got, examples of, you know, traditional Norwegian foods and some traditional crafts as well, which is nice.
Well, thank you so much for this little historical update, and have a nice and relaxing day.
Well, thank you.
And we'll just listen to a little of the Story City Carousel for our beautiful day. Now we'll turn to KHOI reporter Rick Morrison. What did you learn at Scandinavian Days?
Well, I was there with James Winters here in the studio, and we were both exploring different parts of Scandinavian Days. And I happened to run into my father there and did a little interviewing, and I think it turned out great. So
we'd like to hear it.
Hello, this is Rick from KHOI Radio, and in the studio is my dad.
How do you do?
You were at Scandinavian Days, and I believe you've had some experiences out there. What's your take on that?
Actually, I met a friend of mine who works at Danfoss here in Ames, and he and his daughter live in Story City, and we met up there Saturday morning to watch the parade. Of course, we were kind of concerned because of the weather, but it did hold off. But fortunately, they thought ahead and brought two very large umbrellas from his company. So it had the company insignia on it. So we were prepared, and his daughter Michaela brought her cat by the name of Cougar. So we had Cougar with us, very polite, well-behaved cat, I have to say. And he was on a leash. But we all sat there, watched the parade. This was actually my first parade to watch at Scandinavian Days, so really did enjoy that. And I do frequent some of the businesses, local businesses on Main Street, saw them represented in the parade.
Nice.
The band did an excellent job. I mean, for a smaller town, I was quite impressed. Again, mm-hmm. This is my first time that I saw the parade, so.
Nice.
And we had a good time. Optimum seating, in fact, his house is just a block away from where the parade route is, so didn't have to walk very far. Just parked the car in his drive, got my chair out of the trunk, and we sat there and watched the parade. But right toward the end, it started to let loose. That is, it started raining.
Mm-hmm.
So the expression, rain on your parade, well, that actually happened. And but again, we had the umbrellas, so all of us huddled under the umbrella, including Cougar the cat. And but we really had a good time, and Michaela got quite a stash of candy during that time, so she was quite pleased about that.
It's definitely neat. I was talking with you earlier, and in regards to the heritage, coming from a Scandinavian family, you know, my mom being Swedish and your side being Norwegian, you happened to, I guess, run into somebody who was from Norway, or.
Yeah, I do belong to the Sons of Norway, and as I'm going on my second year of being a member, this is something that my dad always wanted to do. We are Norwegian. My dad was 100% Norwegian, and relative by the name, actually my great-grandfather by the name of Martin Morrison, came over from the Stavanger area of Norway back in the 1800s, latter part of the 1800s. He lived in Ames for a time, actually built the house that is still located on Washington Avenue, and he was a photographer, but he also was really quite the entrepreneur. He also painted. In fact, I've got three of his paintings, his oil paintings. Again, I mentioned he was a photographer, so he took not only photos, but he also did stereographic photos, which was pretty unique. So we have, in fact, I've got a picture of him, and I wish we could show that to the radio audience, a picture of Martin Morrison standing by his stereoptic camera. And this is what he used to shoot the photos. And then he had a person that he worked with in Story City to help develop and market his photos, because what happened was he would get orders from people who migrated from Norway in Iowa. They would order pictures to send back home and vice versa. People in the Norwegians that settled here also wanted pictures of their family and relatives back in Norway. So he had quite a business. He made several trips back and forth between Norway and America. So anyway, I currently have about 400-some images of his, and some of them are up on my website. So it's been very interesting to share that information with the folks at Sons of Norway. But while I was there during Scandinavian days, I currently am a treasurer in training for the Sons of Norway. And the treasurer, acting treasurer now, had a couple of relatives that who lived just outside of Oslo, Norway, come and visit. And I happened to have the opportunity to meet with both of them. Now, the mister, I don't recall his name, but he hardly speaks any English at all. But the wife did speak English. So we had a good conversation for about 10 minutes or so.
Nice.
And explain how I was related to the, you know, being Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
She was quite interested, and so we had a good conversation. And they were playing an old Norwegian, actually an old Viking game just outside the Heritage Hall where we meet for Sons of Norway. I wanted to play that game to see what it was all about, but the rain let loose, so couldn't do that. So
yeah, that's pretty neat.
So very disappointed.
Right. So that Norwegian game, do you remember what the name of that was? Or?
Well, I was talking with my brother earlier, and I was trying to recall. I should have looked it up. It's just a one-syllable word. I just can't remember right offhand.
But they played this during Scandinavian days.
And yes, they did, and it caused quite a stir. I mean, a lot of people, even from out of town, were coming to play this game.
Nice.
And it's an outside game. It almost, in some ways, mimics, like ring toss or something like that.
Right.
But it uses different components of the game, and the scoring is different. So again, I don't understand everything because I didn't have a chance to play it. But I do want to research and find out a little bit more about it because it does sound fascinating.
It's kind of interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very neat. It's nice to interview you and get your take on the side of your experiences from Scandinavian days, and especially, being Scandinavian ourselves, having some kind of a background, it's kind of interesting to kind of,
mm-hmm.
dive into that history a little bit. And,
Story City is a real nice community. So I enjoy going up there and visiting. And the coffee shop, Café Geita, which means coffee goat in Norwegian, an excellent coffee shop. So I'm nice place to visit. They were in the parade, too.
Thanks again for stopping by. It's my dad here on KHI Radio, and thanks.
You're welcome.
Sir.
Christopher Jackson.
Christopher, how long have you been to Story City Antique Carousel?
3 years now.
Outstanding. How old is this carousel? When was it built? By whom?
Built in 1913. The machine, as well as the carousel itself, was done by the Herschel Spellman Company in upstate New York. It was constructed there, and it was built in, and it was brought to Story City about 3 or 4 years later.
Okay, so I understand there is that a calliope or is that a Wurlitzer organ that's playing there? Tell me about that.
It's probably closest to an organ there. It's got individual, they blow air through as it reads individual little metallic bits on a roll that as it goes through will definitely highlight different notes, and that's how it's played.
So has that been working this whole time, or has that been recently restored?
It's been restored over the years, but it's been working perfectly fine ever since. So.
I'm going to go ahead and record some of that, if you don't mind, and thanks for your time.
You have been listening to KHOI Community Radio, where your host Paul Wearson and I, Susan Franzen, have been speaking with Kate File and Richard Morrison's father.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Named.
Yep. It's his name, Rick. Rick Morrison, same name here.
About the Norwegian traditions of Scandinavian days. Reporter Jim Winters caught that history of the carousel with Chris Jackson. And now...
Well, I won't tell you about the carousel. It is from 1913. And how we got it in Story City is quite a little story. It's a short one. They had rented the carousel because it was a traveling carousel. But the people who ran that operation had a conflicting date. And so they were going to move the carousel out a day early. And the Story City businessmen were irritated by this conflict. And they bought the carousel. They bought it from the guy who was renting it. And we've possessed it in Story City ever since. So it was really the result of kind of getting in a snit and buying it off this guy who messed up the scheduling of the rental of the carousel. Now, isn't that interesting? That's how it came to be. But the day began Saturday with kind of a brisk, chilly morning. But we had a great turnout for the 5K. That's how Scandinavian Days begins every year. And it's kids of all ages, older people just huffing and puffing. But, you know, you do 5K. Doesn't matter if you walk it or run it, or I suppose theoretically you could do it on your hands and knees. There's Jim over there doing it on his hands. Well, by the way, we do have the wonderful James Winters here today.
Hi, James Winters.
Yes. Now, is that a good radio voice or what?
Yeah.
Anyway, the 5K race, I think we had a reporter on scene for that too.
Yes, yeah, we did. And
our KHOI reporter, Cynthia McClure, was there for the 5K race because her husband Chris ran it. And the interview begins with his words.
Cindy. The crowd seems to be festive. The weather is perfect. It's a little bit warm, a little bit muggy, but otherwise absolutely fine. And I'm going to build up an appetite for the kumla eating contest later.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm with some of the young runners here at Scandinavian Days. And your name?
Kathy Narragon. I'm running this year, and I've been running for several years in the past, and it's a really great experience because it gets everyone up and active, and that's a really cool thing to do.
I'm Maggie Schnur, and I'm running the 5K, and this is the first 5K I've ever run, so that'll be fun.
I'm Chelsea Tinkin, and I'm running the 5K today, and I've run a couple 5Ks in the past, so I've never run a Scandinavian Day one, but hopefully it's going to be fun.
So you guys very excited?
Yes, very excited.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm at the starting line of the Scandinavian Days 5K run, and I'm with a very interesting-looking Viking gentleman. And your name and what you're doing here, because you got a lot of team spirit, sir.
Well, my name is Norske Glassnap, and we're going to, Lord willing, have a nice 5K run here. Okay, go Norse.
You're dressed up like a Norseman, sir. This is, where'd you get your costume?
Let's see here. I got this from the VF factory.
Well, you look real authentic, sir. I hope you have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we don't have a starter pistol this morning, so I'm just going to give you an on your mark and a go, and we'll be ready to race. On your marks, go.
So we got the lead car coming, and the lead runner's coming. So the Gookin pace car that left here 18 minutes ago, and so it's 18:50. Here we go.
He was in 19 minutes and 9 seconds.
19 minutes and 9 seconds. And you're the winner of the race?
Yes.
And your name?
Samuel Titus.
Samuel Titus? Have you ever won a race before, Samuel?
Yes.
Looks like the first young ladies are coming across for Scandinavian Days. I think you were the first young woman across. I just interviewed her. She's a little bit tired. Mom, you want to talk about it? She won the Scandinavian Days women's run because I think she was the first young woman across.
Oh, really? That is awesome. Yeah.
And her name?
Chelsea Tinkin.
And she won for her age group. Yay! My husband is making it across the finish line at 30 minutes and 34 seconds. Hey, dear.
I ran it.
You ran it.
I ran the whole thing. Not very fast. I don't even know my time.
30 minutes.
Okay. That's about what I did last time. I'm surprised myself.
Well, that was the 5K race. You could hear that everyone was breathless. And I was actually there when she was doing that recording. And everyone was really tired, and there's all kinds of stuff you can eat and drink afterwards, so it's a great festivity. But we also had the comb leading contest, and the comb leading contest is really for people who are not faint of heart, because a kumla is heavy food. Let me tell you what it is. I used to help Mom make it. She'd slice up raw potatoes, I'd grind them in a meat grinder, it went into a cake pan. She made it into balls with some sort of adhesive like oatmeal. And you put it in with ham or brisket and cook it for hours. And then you come out with this dumpling-type thing, which is a kumla. And you put it on your plate. And you have ham or whatever you cooked it with, too. But the kumla balls themselves are just like dropping a cannonball into your stomach. And so a kumla-eating contest, I think only John Wayne could really be successful. But we did have some people who were in the kumleading contest, and that's what the next segment's about. Just keep in mind that Norwegian food is usually white, usually tasteless, or lutefisk is another thing that smells terrible. I've always thought that Norwegians invented Norwegians' food because they were trapped in a log cabin for 8 months every year. it's all an acquired taste. But our next segment does involve the kumleading contest.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm with the organizer and the MC of the Kumla Eating Contest here in Story City.
Yep. My name is Becky Watoon. I'm the organizer of the Kumla Eating Contest for Scandinavian Days. This year, we are inside the Story City Legion Post 59, where the Sons of the Legion had a couple of volunteers make us a couple of roasters full of delicious kumla. We have two divisions. We have an adult division, which is 16 and older. We have a youth division, which is 0 to 15. Looks like we've got a full docket for 10 competitors in the adult division, and we've got three signed up for the youth. And every person starts out with five kumlas on their plate. The adults get 3 minutes to consume as many as they can. We load up their plates with more once they finish their first five. It's pretty fun. If you've never had kumla before, it's definitely a Norwegian treat that you need to try.
And it is, this is the MC for the event, and your name?
Hi, my name is John Gookin. I'm a lifelong resident of Story City.
Can you just give us a little notice about it?
It's like a very dense dumpling. It's potatoes and flour, all boiled in ham, with ham. It's very thick. It kind of sits in your stomach. Once you eat it, you just kind of, boom. It's like eating two bowls of pasta and then laying down. It's pretty tough, but I tell you what, we got an exciting crowd here today. There's a lot of young people from Riverside Bible Camp, the counselors. They're here, and I think there's going to be a little bragging rights for who can eat the most kumla today.
Who likes kumla? Woo! Who loves kumla? Yeah! All right, kumla eating contest. We've got 23 people signed up, two classes. Youth, semi-adults, okay, and we shall see. And these are made by the local legion here, and they do a good job. They have kumla feeds all the time.
Okay.
All right, so all these guys are going to need a lot of encouragement.
Wait.
Oh, not yet. Not yet.
Are you ready?
When they yell at
you,
you say go.
Okay.
Yeah. Set. I like that. Go! Eat kumla!
Oh, my God. These guys are packing it away. And our winner,
13.
We have a 13 from a gentleman from Polo. How does it feel to be the winner representing Iowa?
It was good. It wasn't like my mom's that I was raised on, but it was great. I hope they let me finish.
You are not new to the kumla eating.
No, I have been raised on kumla, Norwegian kumla.
Now we have James Witters of telling us about the funnel cakes.
I find myself preoccupied with funnel cakes when I go to these little town festivities and whatnot, because I've searched the world over and I've even tried making recipes at home for funnel cakes, and it's never the same as from one of those grimy little trailers that use the same oil for 3.5 days to a week at a time. It's just so I went on the hunt for some funnel cakes and interviewed a couple of folks on the way there and got some perspective from the concessionaire's row.
The hunt for funnel cakes has come to an end. I see the trailer with the blinking words in old style light bulbs saying very clearly funnel and then cakes, blinking back and forth. The trailer right next to it also says funnel cakes, but it has a strawberry shortcake sundae and pie with fried taffy. What is fried taffy? Hi, I'm James Winters with KHOI. What's your name?
I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Can you describe something for me? What is fried taffy?
Fried taffy is, we take a Laffy Taffy and we dip it in funnel cake batter and put it in the fryer and we fry it and then we put powdered sugar on the top.
Well, that sounds really excellent. Thank you. Now the mystery has been solved as to what is fried taffy. Fantastic. Making our way towards the funnel cakes. The end of the line. And there's two to choose from. What kind of options can I get on my funnel cakes?
You can get strawberry, chocolate, whipped cream, pineapple, caramel, ice cream, cherry, anything.
What's your name?
Johnny.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for talking to me, you guys. I know I'm going to want one with cherry. Can I get cherry? You still got cherry and a little bit of whipped cream? Thanks, Johnny.
Okay. So, did you eat that thing?
I did. I enjoyed my funnel cakes.
Are you okay today, Jim?
I'm fine.
Well, that many-day-old oil must be good for the body.
It is. I slept it off. I had, had a good day of sleep afterwards where I could just feel the grease. It's like love.
Well, I suppose the ideal would be to go to the kumla eating contest and seriously contend and then go out and have some funnel cakes.
I think that I was made for a kumla eating contest. I have an iron gut, absolutely.
Well, next year.
Oh, I'm in.
Okay, now I'd like to get back to the other events that you saw and were involved with. Paul, I know you've been in many of these Scandinavian days, right?
Oh, yes. One year I was the parade marshal because I'm involved with the storytelling festival we always have in September. So I was the parade marshal because I'm a storyteller. And let me tell you, the hazard of being in a parade is running out of candy to throw before the parade's over. Children come to the car. And it's just like Oliver, there's no more candy, you know. So I learned to pace yourself. But Scandinavian Days is really a tradition in Story City that goes way beyond the actual events. I'm sure that yesterday, I know the class of 1984 from Story City High School had their reunion. It's also a time of family reunions. It's sort of coming back together at Story City. And so it has meaning far beyond just the events that are scheduled. But, man, it was a great day. And even though the rain came down in torrents, it was just wonderful. Because the main thing is making acquaintances with old friends and renewing relationships, having those reunions. And The parade is about an hour long. This is not a small parade. It's got the tractors. It's got the whatnot. There are all kinds of floats in the parade. Very impressive parade. And as your father pointed out, the rain didn't come till after the parade, but before the Bill O'Reilly show. And that's when I got drenched and came in there and did the MC work. But the MC work was fun and just so supportive of the talent on stage. The main thing is to keep the show flowing and keep the kids up and the audience enthused. And actually, not hard to keep the audience enthused at all because kids were so great. You know, you have the Sprouts, you have the seniors who go all the way to age 21. So you go from someone who looks strikingly like Shirley Temple to somebody who has an operatic voice and already has a lot of training. And the violinist who won is really talented. I think he would be in the running to conceivably be the eventual champion at the fair. And it's very well run up there, and everyone loves the Scandinavian Days Bill O'Reilly show because it's indoors in the high school auditorium, and a lot of these shows are held outdoors. And if you're an accompanist and you're music blows off the piano, this is a crisis, you know. So everyone likes being inside. And I just have fun with the kids because, number one, they're a little tense and you need to calm them down and everything. And then you need to just make sure the thing flows. And the kids are great. And a lot of them are college students, so you have such a wide range of age. I'm so glad we do the Bill O'Reilly show. But the real highlight is, drum roll, the big Broadway show we put on. We have performances Wednesday through Sunday afternoon. I did Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady in 1998. It was a big hit and a sellout, I might add. This year, it was Tarzan.
Why weren't you? Did you try out?
No, because this was an athletic. You should have seen. As a matter of fact, one of our ex-Judge Story people, Sage Steenhagen, did the set design by remote control because he works on Broadway doing set design and lighting. And it was a scaffold made to look like jungle, and the cast had to go up and down through these scaffoldings and sing and dance and all that sort of thing. And there were a lot of kids because the gorillas were all ages, you know, the kids. And the play opens with Tarzan and his friend as children. And, of course, the theme of Tarzan is that here's this man among apes, and he discovers as he ages that he doesn't fit in. He's different, you know. And then he encounters a family that comes, the professor and his daughter, who is Jane, by the way. And the story unfolds, so it's conflict. And in the end, and I want to, spoiler alert, Jane decides to stay with the gorillas and Tarzan.
This is like the story of my life. Yeah. I don't know. I can relate to that.
James
so much.
Was all we did. It was a middle school crisis
didn't really
for James.
Fit in. Yeah, you know.
He was the only ape among the humans.
I'm pretty sure I'm an ape.
Anyway,
you look pretty spry, Paul. You should have tried out.
For
though.
My age, I could have done it probably by remote control. You know,
nice.
But the young cast and the man who played Tarzan, it was the most demanding role. Because you had to be athletic, you had to look good in a loincloth. Right there, I'd be out, you see. but it was a great show, played to very, very good attendance, and I was very, very impressed with the cast. And the cast ranged from 4 to 65 or 70, you know. So it was a great show, and the music was great, and I think we have some segments from the show.
Thank you.
have an alarm clock that sounds like that.
That was me on the bongos.
Terrific job, James.
Why, thank you.
He's a natural. But, you know, actually, that was a cast recording, a professional recording, because it's not legal for us to record the actual performance for copyright reasons. Yeah. But we did have a tremendous orchestra up there for Tarzan.
We could play Phil Collins, though.
Yeah. That's right. But, you see, the thing is, there's an orchestra pit in this old theater, and the theater is going through its 100th anniversary. It was built in 1913. And that orchestra pit, I helped. These are big blocks that cover the orchestra pit. And it takes 12 men and a boy to pull them out of there. So it's no longer flooring, but a pit. And so there's a room for a 20-piece orchestra in there. And so we had a 20-piece orchestra, bongo drums. It's too bad we couldn't do a cast recording from up there. But, you know, in Broadway, you have approximately a 20-piece band by union standards. So when Story City does a Broadway show, we do a Broadway show with the same number of people in the orchestra. Isn't that great?
Wow. I think the people who missed that probably are really sorry. I am.
Yeah. Oh, it was a great show. Yeah.
But now Scandinavian Days really starts the summer festivities. And I think in view of our purpose to create community through communication, this is a time to give a little promo for what's coming up elsewhere. And first, I know the next one that you're going to mention is going to be down in Cambridge. And there, earlier, back when I did this, the towns of South Story County, what impressed me was how the towns of the Ballard District, Kelly, Cambridge, Huxley, and Slater, cooperated. I mean, it wasn't just that they had a consolidated school. They cooperated in many ways, and I noticed their big festivals are spaced in different months. So you can draw from the surrounding and support each other's festivals and meet friends from beyond your town. So what's coming up?
Well, and it's free from competition. It's like, well, no, I can't go to this one because that one's going on that week. No, they're all spaced out. First of all, Thursday, June 12th through Saturday, June 14th is Cambridge's Skunk River Valley Days. It's stinking awesome. They've got all kinds of stuff from family movie night, ice cream pie social, sidewalk chalking, the Sweet Adelines will be playing, burgers and hot dogs brought to you by the Cambridge Fire Department. We've got Yucky Duck Pluck drawing. There's a beer tent. There's concerts, whipped cream, bubblegum, and pie-eating contest and a bags tournament. Again, that's the Cambridge Skunk River Valley Days. Thursday, June 12th through Saturday, June 14th, it's stinking awesome. Of course, June 27th through June 28th is the Nevada Kiwanis Rockin' Country Barbecue Fest. And there's all kinds of fun stuff. It's free admission for the kids, backyard cook-off, you know, community voting, live music at the Leonard Doolin Pavilion featuring the JCs. And Saturday is a barbecue contest for the finalists. And there's a lot of food vendors and live music on that day as well. And in Slater, July 3rd through Sunday, July 6th, Slater is celebrating 125 years of existence. Thank goodness for that. Thursday, July 3rd, we've got a kiddie parade, puppet show, petting zoo. Friday, there's opening ceremonies begin at noon. There's a carnival, talent show, Amy's School of Dance, is a magician. And, of course, a beer tent with a band, Burning Sensations, their infectious grooves. Fireworks at 10 on the 4th, Saturday, July 5th, we've got the carnival and the Next Generation shows, bicycle poker run, a beer tent with music, and a hypnotist as well. Sunday is Church in the Park and Nighthawk baseball, doubleheader. That city of Slater celebrating its 125 years. What is that, this dodeca sesquicentennial?
I don't know, but I'd like to bring Paul in on that because when we were county reporters, we went down to Slater and we were talking to the mayor about the 4th of July. And this is when I first realized that Paul's knowledge of the area went way beyond Story City. So you have anything – what did – you had a cousin who used to be involved in that or
– Well, my nephew, Ray, who was chief executive of Scott County, is also a semi-professional performer and singer. And several times he's been the main act at the Slater 4th of July ceremony. So he does a great hours show with his sons.
So it's all in the family.
It's all in the family, and this is our only collection to, connection to Slater. But I do want to mention something coming up. You know, the Story Theater, where the Tarzan production went on, is the oldest continuously operating movie theater west of the Mississippi. We are a National Historical Monument, and we're trending to do more live performance up there. And some things are coming up. Live on the 20th of June, 7 p.m., the Britons. They are a Beatles tribute band. That's going to be up there at the Story Theater in Story City, Iowa. They'll perform on the historic stage Friday night, June 20 at 7 p.m. And on the 31st of July, Monroe Crossing will present a bluegrass and gospel show Thursday, the 31st of July, right on stage at the Story Theater. So those are two live performances coming up at our old theater, our treasured landmark in Story City.
Oh, and there's another smaller event, I mean smaller than these big city ones, that's coming up in Randall. And I ran into Marcy. She said it was going to be a madrigal performance and dinner, and you knew the event.
Yeah, this is our traditional. I've been on that board up there. The Ragtime in Randall and all the Fine Arts Council people in Randall put on about three or four events a year. And then during the summer, it's called our Sunday Best. And that's what they're doing this year. It's a madrigal dinner. And I talked to Marcy briefly about it, but that's about all I know. What's coming
you
up?
You told me the date. You told me it'd be the last Saturday, last Sunday in
July.
The last Sunday in July.
Yeah.
And there's something coming up next Saturday in Nevada that's not on the big schedule. And I know that we're going to cover it. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Hi, James Winters and myself and Tom Beal are going to be touring some of Nevada's man caves. Of course, it's going to be an inside look at a sneak peek at some of Nevada men's secret hideaways, and ladies are invited too. So be sure and stay tuned and keep an ear tuned, because we're going to be covering seven or eight of Nevada's man caves. We're going to be visiting, and we'll give you the full lowdown on what's going on with those.
Well, that should be fun. And we don't have the schedule yet, but we should mention that the very end of the summer, starting August 22nd, the Huxley Prairie.
Is it the Sheep and Wool Festival?
No,
that's Colfax.
No.
Prairie Fest in Huxley, August 22nd and 23rd.
Prairie Fest in Huxley. And yes, and that's right. Cynthia wanted us to mention the Sheep and Wool Festival.
That's June 14th and 15th at the Jasper County Fairgrounds in Colfax. The Sheep and Wool Festival. Looking forward to that one, too.
And
you can come sheared or with your wool.
And, of course, there'll be county fairs and farm progress shows and just lots
funnel
of
things. Funnel cakes. I imagine that there'll be funnel cakes at almost all of these. And I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'll tell you.
Continuing investigation into funnel cakes with James Winters.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, now... Now it's time for our shout out.
Okay.
Paul and I had a little. Paul and I and Gina McAndrews, who couldn't be here this morning, but she's another one of our county reporters, went on a road trip down to Shipley. I've been hearing about this since our Sunday Best a couple years ago when I was up in Randall, and people were raving about Thursday breakfast at Shipley. And so we finally got there almost too late because the old schoolhouse is for sale, but they had a special coffee, Thursday coffee and breakfast just for us, and about 45 people showed up. Is that right, Paul?
It was a lot of people, and they were all in some way affiliated with the old school there. And the school is a big battlement-type building, originally built in World War I era, and then there was an addition of a huge auditorium in addition to the school as a WPA project in the 30s. And all these people, I think the last graduating class was 1959. But these people have an affiliation that goes on forever. And it was just a festive atmosphere and loud. You know, people were talking. But someone spent thousands of dollars renovating this building. It's beautiful inside. Oh,
It's a story that I think we'd like to take up when we have more time to really get the voices of the people, because I interviewed a lot of the people, and everybody had a different piece of information. It was a great great situation, great story to follow up. Now, I guess it's time to sign off.
Well, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Today, we've been talking about Scandinavian days and the summer festivals of our region. Our guests today have been Kate File, head of the Historical Society at Story City. I'm Paul Wearson, Susan Franson. We have James Winters, and he was also an on-scene reporter, along with Cynthia McClure, the wonderful Richard Morrison. Local Talk is engineered today also by Richard Morrison.
Hello.
Music you heard included selections from the Wurlitzer organ at the Story City Carousel and Two Worlds, from the film score to Disney's Tarzan, which was presented on stage at Scandinavian Days. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards, from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
You can also listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org, where you'll find an archive for all of the Local Talk shows we've produced since we went on the air in 2012. Recent shows will be posted on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, can get the information. There you'll find lists of our guests and links to the organizations and other resources mentioned on our show, so you'll have the links to all of these festivals.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join this team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878 or at the email khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation as audience makes KHOI possible. So thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.